frick.
What?
That would have been great on camera.
Oh, no, I got it on camera.
Oh, yeah, I need you to edit that in someplace. I don't know where. Well, welcome back to Culture Makers, and today we're talking, should Christians cancel Lil Nas X? James, let's not hesitate. Let's not wait. Let's dive right in. I'm your host, Vince Parker, and again with me always, the great, the awesome James Meehan. James, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I feel like this is your best intro yet.
Is it good?
It's fantastic.
Well, then we'll keep it and we'll keep moving. We have been texting all weekend, right?
Yeah, we have.
Right? The first text I got, I'm away, I'm visiting some friends in Phoenix. I get a text that says, hey, have you seen this? And I look at the article and I'm like, whoa. Lil Nas X releases a Satan sneaker.
Yep.
I think we gotta give facts first.
Yeah.
For sure. So here's the facts behind it. Lil Nas X and a company known as Mischief, M-S-C-H-F is how they actually spell it.
Come on, because if you use vowels, it's not even cool anymore.
Not even cool anymore.
Should we cancel vowels?
No.
Oh, okay, sorry, continue.
What would Vanna White do? Okay.
None of them are going to understand that reference.
Look it up. They are known for making products that are just weird and unique that are out there.
Yep.
And so what they did is them and Lil Nas X, I'm not sure who went to who, I'm not sure on that.
Sure.
But basically, they decided to collaborate on a sneaker, and they chose a Nike Air Max, and Mischief just bought a whole bunch of Air Maxes. Yeah. So Nike has nothing to do with this at all. It's like going to IHOP, buying a bunch of pancakes, and putting your logo on it, right?
Okay.
They're IHOP pancakes,
but
IHOP didn't know what you were doing with the shoes. You just purchased the pancakes. So Nike has nothing to do with this at all other than someone purchased their product and customized it.
Right.
Now, the crazy thing is Mischief actually did this about a year and a half ago with the Jesus shoe.
Interesting, yeah.
Right? Same concept except for they injected the sole with holy water.
Right.
But now here we are, about a year and a half later, and Lil Nas X, Satan sneaker, it's crazy.
Yeah, the internet.
Let's talk about it.
The internet is blowing up.
Right, it's insane. Like, I probably got 100 texts like, hey, are you going to stop wearing Nikes? And my first response was, Nike has nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
And then they were like, what do you think about it? And I was like, from what I can see, this seems like a hurting young man.
Right.
Right, like, the things that he's posted is like, yeah, I was hurt by a group of people.
Yeah.
And I just want to hurt them back.
Right.
And there's a video that released behind it for one of his new songs.
Right.
And in the video, I believe he's wearing the shoes. I didn't watch the video. I know I watch everything else, but I was like, you know what? I'm not watching this video.
Yeah. This was the line.
This is the line.
Vince Parker. 3.5 hours of the Grammys, not too far. But that video, you don't need to watch it. But from what I've heard, you made the right choice.
Yeah. James, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, initially when this all happened, I didn't really have a lot of thoughts because I knew that more information was going to come out about the shoe, about the story behind it.
Right.
And it was you actually who sent me a screenshot of one of Lil Nas X's tweets where he talked about how the reason he released the shoe was meant to be a response to the hurt that he felt from Christians when he was growing up because of, you know, part of who he is and the things that he had done and choices that he had made. He had received a lot of hate and judgment and condemnation from Christians. And so in order to basically like get back at the people who had hurt him, he decided, you know what, now that I've got an influence and a platform, I'm going to release these shoes. And for, you know, lack of a better term, I'm going to let all heck break loose. Right.
Yeah.
And what's honestly so heartbreaking to me is that for so many of us as Christians, we have responded in a way that has basically justified the things that he thought about us. Because as a young man growing up, what he experienced from Christians was condemnation, judgment, and hate. And after releasing these shoes, what has he gotten mostly from Christians? Condemnation, judgment, and hate. And so we're asking the question, should Christians cancel Lil Nas X? And my philosophy on this is, man, if cancel culture isn't a good thing when people we like are being canceled, then we probably shouldn't use cancel culture against the people that we don't like. And this is something that I'm so passionate about because the fact of the matter is that for those of us who call ourselves Christians, we have dedicated our lives to our risen and crucified King. Literally, Jesus wasn't just canceled. The dude was crucified, right? And while Jesus is being murdered on a cross, he's not praying, Father, cancel these people. He's praying, Father, forgive them because they don't even know what they're doing. And so as this story is developing and it's evolving and more information is coming out, my heart honestly is just breaking because this is a dude who was hurt by Christians. And in response to that hurt he experienced so many years ago, now that he has influence and a platform, he's trying to hurt Christians back. And we're just giving him all of the justification he could ask for to do it. And it just makes me wonder, man, how different would his story and his life be if, when he was younger, instead of receiving condemnation, judgment, and hate from Christians, he received grace, compassion, and love. You know, the things that we say we're all about.
Yeah,
because the Jesus that we follow isn't a Jesus who on this cross tried to cancel the people who were killing him. He was a Jesus who willingly laid his life down for the good of others. And so the thing that honestly has been really eye-opening for me is the fact that as Christians, we can get so caught up in the ways of the world
right.
that we forget the way of Jesus. And man, I just think about how different our world would be if those of us who claim the name of Jesus would actually follow the way of Jesus. And here's the thing. Do I agree with these shoes? Not a chance.
No, I'm not wearing those same sneakers. Yeah.
I'm not wearing those shoes. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to demonize the person who released them. Because to be a follower of Jesus is to be the kind of person that loves others, regardless of what they've done, regardless of the things that they've said, regardless of who they are. Because that Jesus died for me when I was still a sinner. And so for those of us who are Christians, honestly, what I think we can learn from this is when we claim the name of Jesus and yet ignore the way of Jesus, what we're actually doing is we are misrepresenting the Jesus that we say that we follow. And how different would our world be if we really took Jesus seriously and showed his love to people like Lil Nas X who are hurting and in their hurt are lashing out at us. Because the Jesus that we follow didn't say, hey, you know what you should do? You should love the people who you like and hate the people that you don't.
He didn't say that.
No, he said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. When somebody slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other and let them slap that as well. Because that's the Jesus that we follow.
And this is a perfect example of how to do that. But yet our response, not all of us,
sure,
not all
right,
Christians.
Right, not everybody.
But a few.
Yeah.
Man, they're just... What, it's crazy.
And I think that's the thing that's so heartbreaking is I know that there are a lot of Christians who are quietly praying for Lil Nas X, who are quietly doing their best to serve other people who are in pain. The problem is that oftentimes we're really, really loud with what we disagree about.
Yeah.
And we're really loud with our condemnation when in reality, I think what Jesus modeled is being the kind of person who's willing to get your hands dirty and wash the feet of the people that are around you. Literally, Jesus washed the feet of Judas, the dude who was about to betray him. And that didn't change Jesus's disposition towards him. So, yeah.
So when you think about this, at the end of the day, there are going to be some people who do things that you wholeheartedly disagree with, right? And I'm not a fan, dislike, not about Satan shoes.
Good clarification.
Just not about that.
Yeah. I also am not a fan of those.
Just clarifying. Not a fan of Satan shoes.
Right.
But people need the love of Jesus.
Come on.
Not the hate of people.
Come on.
And our response to people who do things that may seem evil or not right shouldn't be hate.
Right.
But should be love like Christ has loved us.
Come on.
100%. And so, man, that's crazy, but we got more to talk about.
Yeah, we do.
Today.
We're just getting started.
Just getting started. Okay. So here's the deal. We're going to jump in. Let's talk NBA, specifically the Brooklyn Nets.
Okay. Yeah.
They have formed a super team. So I'm going to say these names. Let me know what you think. We got James Harden.
Yep.
Kevin Durant.
Come on.
Kyrie Irving.
Come on.
Joe Harris.
Come on.
DeAndre Jordan, Jeff Green, and Blake Griffin are all on the same team.
Come on. It's the Avengers.
I think they're going to win the championship. What do you think with that level of talent?
Is
that enough to stop LeBron James?
Oh, man, I don't know. I mean,
because all those people have been formed to stop LeBron James.
I mean, this is
in 36-year-old LeBron James.
Well, so what I'm hearing you say is that LeBron James is the Thanos of the NBA.
That's going to be a t-shirt. Let's go.
And it takes all of the Avengers assembled to bring him down. Come on. But what if he gets the Infinity Stones?
The Lakers have added some additional pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
LeBron's injured at the time of recording this video, so he should be back by then.
So you're saying the Lakers are kind of like the Fantastic Four?
Okay, all right.
Not good movies.
Ooh, yeah, that's a comic book's good, but not good movies. Let us know in the comment, who do you think is going to win the NBA Finals? Still, I got a lot of basketball to play, but we'll go from there. Next, baseball kicking off April 1st. Do you watch baseball at all opening day?
Nope,
you
not don't? A chance.
Okay, then we'll just move on. If you watch baseball, do me a favor. Let us know who's your favorite team.
Come on.
Why is it your favorite team? And is it okay to wear baseball hats of teams that aren't your favorite, but the hat is cool?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah, because I was wearing an L.A. hat this weekend, and someone said, are you a Dodgers fan? And I said, no, I've just been to L.A.
And what did they say?
They were like, oh, that's weird. So do you wear hats of teams that you don't?
So I don't wear hats because I got this gnarly cowlick, and if I wear a hat.
What did you call that?
Cowlick. Put it together, cowlick.
Okay, gotcha.
Have
Go
you
ahead.
Ever heard that?
I don't. No, don't have one. Next up. Now, James, I know you're not on TikTok.
Come on.
Right,
but not I know a chance.
You pay attention
it's
to things
so
that
addicting.
Are happening, right? It is. It'll get you. You'll be like,
yeah.
Just, you know. Did you know Kat and Mike broke up?
Yeah, unfortunately, I just heard about this, which, like I said, I'm not on TikTok, but my wife and I actually love watching their specific videos. I think my wife has TikTok on her phone.
Okay.
And that's probably how we watch them. And so we watch a ton of their videos, and I think, you know, it's hilarious. And as we were watching their videos, we started to find out more and more about their story, which was, to us, this like really cool story of a relationship that started in, you know, not the best circumstances,
right,
but developed into what appeared to be, from the outside looking in, a really beautiful marriage. And so when I heard about them choosing to separate, honestly, it's just, it sucks. I hate hearing stuff like that. And there's not a lot of details as to what led to that decision. But man, it just, my heart breaks for them.
So Captain Mike, we're praying for you.
Yeah.
We know God works all things to his good. But yeah, it's hard to hear things like that, even when it feels distant because it's on social media and you've never met them.
Right.
But they can have an impact on us. So,
absolutely.
You know, but we'll be praying for them. We've got some questions from some of our viewers up there.
Come
you guys
on.
Have been asking amazing questions. So here's the deal. Continue to ask the questions. We want to answer them for you. First question is up from Mackenzie.
Okay.
All right, James, are you ready for this? This is a doozy. How do you stop being anxious when you're talking with people about God?
That is a fantastic question. I think that for the most part, when you're first stepping into some of those conversations, you're gonna be a little bit nervous. You're gonna be a little bit anxious, right? Like, as somebody who's on staff as a pastor at a church, there are still times where I get nervous because what I'm thinking about is, man, I wanna make sure that I don't say something dumb.
Okay.
So that if I invite this person to church or I share their faith with them, they won't get the wrong impression, right? Because I'm a human being with insecurities just like that. But the reality is that the more of those conversations I have, the more I realize that nervousness and anxiousness is totally misplaced. And one of the things that I found really fascinating is, I don't remember where I read it or where I listened to it, but a long time ago, I heard somebody that was talking about how the, you know, nervousness slash anxiousness that we feel is actually our body priming itself to perform at a higher level. Like, it helps us be more focused. It helps us be more intentional. It gives us more energy. And so it's this really fascinating thing that oftentimes we can see nervousness or anxiousness as a bad thing. And that is literally your body preparing you to perform at a high level.
Okay.
And so when I get nervous, I have learned to kind of reframe that as, oh, this is my body preparing itself to perform well in something that is important.
Sure.
And I think there are few things more important than us sharing our faith with others, because the reality is that we get to share the best news in history.
Ever.
The news that the 2,000 years ago, coming up, Easter weekend, this weekend. If you don't have a church, make sure you check out life.church online. I don't actually know what the website is. They changed it recently.
Wow. Links in the bio. Check it out.
Below. Easter weekend, we are celebrating the greatest news in history, that our King Jesus did not stay dead. And we get to share that with others, because when we enter into a relationship with Jesus, that changes everything. We get
everything.
A new identity. We're adopted into a new family, and we are given the purpose of bringing the good news of Jesus to every corner of creation. So, all that being said, I know I didn't really like tell you how to not be nervous, but I think being nervous is actually okay.
It's okay.
And I think it can be a good thing, because the reason you're nervous is because this thing is important to you, it matters, and your body is preparing you to be more focused and hopefully to do it well.
And if you just practice, the more you talk about it.
Come on.
I think the less anxious you'll be about
Absolutely.
It and the more excited you'll be about it. Next up, Lachey Miller. James, are you ready for this one? How do you decide on your career when you're still in school?
Wonderful question, Lachey. I think that the pressure that a lot of young people feel to figure out their life while they're still in high school can be a little bit difficult to overcome. And so what I would say is, know that you don't have to know for sure what you're gonna do yet. So for me personally, I was absolutely convinced for probably my whole life that I was going to go into the military after high school.
Right.
Well, my senior year of high school, all of a sudden I thought, you know what? I don't know if that's actually what I want to do. I think I want to be an English teacher. Well, then along the journey, I thought, you know what? Maybe instead of being an English teacher, I should be a UFC fighter. Because I trained mixed martial arts for years and I absolutely loved it. And I was like, you know, even if I can't make it as a pro UFC fighter, at least I could start a mixed martial arts gym and coach other people and that would be a blast. Gotcha. But in addition to that, I should probably be a firefighter because that would be dope and everybody loves firefighters. So I went on this journey of trying to figure out what the heck do I want to do with my life that eventually landed with me working on staff at a church as a pastor. And so I give you that context to say, you don't have to have it all figured out now. What I would encourage you to do is to ask yourself a few questions to help you narrow the focus on what it is that you're called to do. So I like these four questions. I stole them from somebody else, so don't give me credit. But the first question you gotta ask is, what do I love doing?
That's good.
The second question, what am I good at? Okay. The third question, what does the world need? And then the fourth question, what can I make a living doing? That one's like pretty important.
You gotta take care of yourself, right?
Right. Right. And so if you're trying to identify your calling, what it is that you should do with your life, I would ask those four questions. And when you find something that is able to answer all four of those questions, I think you'll be a little bit closer to identifying what a potential career for you could be. So those questions are, number one, what are you good at? Number two, what do you love? Three, what does the world need? And then number four, what can you make a living doing? And through answering those questions, I think it'll help you get a little bit closer to answering your question.
Very good question. Last one, James. Are you ready?
Ready.
This one is from Lexi, who is actually a Switch Online volunteer. So shout out to you, Lexi. Shout out to all the Switch Online volunteers out there.
Switchonline.life.church. Is that the right one?
Shameless plug.
Yeah, it is shameless.
Yes. Here we go. Here's a question. She says, how do I put up boundaries while still being nice? She says she feels like every time she tries to do that, she just comes across rude.
I don't think I can answer this. That's a story of my life.
You don't. Okay.
So I think this is a fantastic question, and it's a difficult question, right? Because when we're putting up boundaries to create some space between us and others to make sure that we're not allowing other people to disrespect us,
right?
And we're also respecting them in that process, it can be a little bit difficult to navigate that conversation because at some point, putting up boundaries requires us to tell people no. And I don't know about you, but I am a hardcore people pleaser. I want people to like me.
Really?
And as a young person, I was told over and over again, hey, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. And so it led to this belief that I can either tell the truth or keep a friend. You can't do both, which is so far from reality. And so I've had to go through this process of trying to figure out how do I lovingly say no? How do I lovingly put boundaries in place? How do I, in the process of putting boundaries, model who it is that God's called me to be? I will say, one of my favorite books of all time, it's by a guy named Dale Carnegie. It was written like 80 years ago. It's called How to Win Friends and Influence People. And it is just a masterclass on how to be kind to people and also tell the truth. And so, again, it takes wisdom, it takes discernment depending on the situation, but that's a resource that might be helpful for you. Vince, you probably have more expertise on this because you're probably actually way better at this than I am.
Oh,
do you have anything
man.
Else to add on top?
This is how boundaries was first explained to me.
Yeah.
Okay, this is going to sound crazy, but this is how a mentor might explain to me. They said, let's say you're on the phone with someone, right?
Okay.
And let's say this person you're on the phone with chooses to start cussing you out. Don't ask me why they was explained to me this way, but it's explained this way.
That's good. That's
they
good.
Said, what if you just simply said to them, hey, here's the deal. If you choose to continue to cuss me out, I'm going to have to hang up the phone. And so what boundaries does is you actually give people an option to choose.
That's good, man.
And they're the ones making the decision. You're not making the decision. You're just letting them know that whatever way they choose to go down, here's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So A, we can continue the conversation without you cussing me out.
Yep.
Or B, you can continue to cuss me out, but I'm not going to be on the phone anymore.
Mm.
And so you need to understand that when you have boundaries set in place, if you present them in a way that's an option to people and let them make the choice, it's actually not you making the decision. They made the decision for you. But if you just hang up the phone,
right? Yeah.
Then that comes across wrong because they have no idea what to just hung up on.
Yes.
But if you let them know, hey, here's the deal.
Yeah.
I don't like being cussed at.
Right.
And if you want to continue to do that, I need to hang up the phone.
Come on.
Then again, they have ownership.
Yep.
Most times I think we might come across rude.
Sure.
Because we don't present the opportunity for them to be owners of what they're doing that disturbs us. So we have to let them be owners of what disturbs us.
Write that down. Rewind. Listen to it again. Because I'm going to have to because I'm taking notes. That's
so
good.
Just
took
what
me
I would
to
say.
School.
James, it's been a crazy day.
Yeah.
Lots of fun conversations.
Golly.
Insane. So remember this, man. We love you guys.
Absolutely.
We're excited to be here for you each and every week. Like, share, comment, put your questions below. Do all the algorithm things. James, anything you need to add?
No, nothing else. That was fantastic.
All right. See you later.